The latest nursing news and information brought to you by the Johnson & Johnson Campaign for Nursing's Future. This is Nursing Notes Live. Nursing Notes Live is an audio extension of the national award-winning monthly e-newsletter Nursing Notes, which offers the latest industry news, trends, and updates in nursing. You can subscribe to the e-newsletter at www.discovernursing.com. Each month's Nursing Notes issue will be accompanied by a couple of episodes of Nursing Notes Live, which will expand on the content and provide you greater insights into the topics presented in the e-newsletter. You can listen to previous podcasts on the Nursing Notes by Johnson & Johnson Facebook page or nursingnoteslive.com, or visit iTunes to subscribe to the podcast. The campaign encourages you to check out its Portrait of Thanks Mosaic Project, which invites nurses from around the world to submit a photo online to be part of a historical image of nursing. For every photo of a nurse uploaded between now and February 1st, 2012, the campaign will donate $1 to the foundation of the National Student Nurses Association to help fund student scholarships. Submit your photo today at www.campaignfornursing.com/portraitofthanks. You are also invited to read the profiles and vote on the 20 Amazing Nurses contest semifinalists at the Nursing Notes by Johnson & Johnson Facebook page through Tuesday, October 18th. Cast your vote for the most amazing nurse today. I'm your host, Jamie Davis. In this month's episode, Nursing Notes Live delves into the world of the pain management nurse. This month's panel discussion includes Barbara St. Marie, pain and palliative care supervisor at Fairview Ridges Hospital in Burnsville, Minnesota, Ann Schreier, president of the American Society for Pain Management Nursing, and our get-to-know nurse, Esther Bernhofer, a pain research nurse at the Nursing Institute of Medicine and Digestive Inpatient Cleveland Clinic. I asked them about their nursing careers and the future challenges facing pain management nurses. Ann Schreier, I'd like to start with you, and let's start with just asking how you became a nurse. What led you into the nursing profession, and what led you into pain management as a career path there?
Okay, well, I sort of always wanted to be a nurse when I was a young girl, so I got into nursing school at Boston University and really felt like, oh, this is where I want to be. And as I started in my first job in nursing, I was on a general medical unit, and I got to know some patients that were suffering from leukemia, and really understood that there was a lot of distress that they had in their lives. So that really was, how am I going to, as a person, help them with that distress? And then I moved to California, and lo and behold, I got a job on at Stanford University on the Cancer Research Center. And I found that in doing that job, that I really became involved with patients. I sort of felt like I found my home in terms of, these were patients that I could relate to, and I felt I was doing something very important for them. And to get into pain management, it sort of began in that way, because with cancer, and with cancer treatment in particular, often pain is a component of that. I gradually had an opportunity then to do some research with helping patients in terms of education about their conditions and about the symptoms that they had. Moved on from there to starting to teaching nursing, and then took some time to work in hospice. And I think that it was really when I began working in hospice that I really got involved with pain management as an essential component, and involved in that way. And then as I became an educator more, when I moved to North Carolina at East Carolina University, really came to see the impact of pain in all areas in which my students were experiencing patients, and that there was a lot of misunderstanding about pain and about pain medications and risks of addictions. And so there was clearly a real need for nurses to know more about that. And eventually I became, after taking a course at City of Hope for nurse educators in putting pain management into the curriculum, really became involved with ASPMN. And it was there I, in fact, met Barbara St. Marie, who's on the phone call, too, and really became involved in that organization. And as we have moved on as an organization, there's been a lot in terms of people having real access to pain and becoming advocates, not access to pain, but access to pain management and the nurse's role in that. And our organization really has moved forward in that area of advocacy, which is, you know, getting patients to have their pain managed well.
And that's a good segue to talk to Barbara St. Marie. Barbara, welcome to the show, and tell us a little bit about your path to nursing.
Well, actually, I started out my career path as a music major. It wasn't nursing at all, and then I became ill, quite ill, and needed a blood transfusion, was hospitalized, and I had a reaction to the blood transfusion. Throughout that whole reaction, it just was imprinted in my brain what happened. Then there was one nurse. There were a lot of people around my bed, but there was one nurse that was sitting in a chair by my bedside holding my hand. And I needed that. I was scared. I was, you know, having things happen to me that I didn't know. And just having that peaceful presence was very important. And at that moment, I realized that nurses are the closest healthcare provider to the patient. And that pain, as a nurse in my career, pain was something that I saw all the time. So as my career path went down the direction of nursing, I knew that relieving the suffering of individuals was the most important thing a nurse could do.
You know, it's amazing you say that story. I know so many people that have had similar similar experiences with a nurse. I know I was in a very severe car accident as a teenager, and because of the injuries, my eyes were covered. The only voice that I can remember from that trip to the trauma center and preparing for surgery was the nurse who sat there telling me what was going on, because I was blind and, you know, couldn't see what was happening because of the bandaging. And it was that nurse's calm, caring voice that carried me through a very traumatic period. And isn't it amazing how nurses are so important and integral in affecting everyone's life when they come into a situation where they need that acute health care?
Definitely, very important role. Having that peaceful presence there is something that I've wanted to teach. I've wanted to carry it forward myself, and that was from an event that occurred 35 years ago.
Esther, you and I had talked previously about the importance of nurses really being there for their patients in so many ways, but especially for being advocates for managing their pain. I know the Pain Champions thing you've set up at Cleveland Clinic has had such a great reception from the nursing staff there.
Yes, actually, it really has. We've been offering the Pain Champion class now for about 2 years, and we've had probably over 800 nurses or so in those couple of years attend, which is really quite a good number regarding, you know, attendance on these types of optional classes that we offer for bedside nurses. So there's a lot of interest in it. And one of the really great pieces of evaluation on our evaluation sheets is that most nurses will write something like, why didn't I know this sooner? How come I didn't get this when I first started working here? When are the doctors going to learn this stuff? And they really seem to really eat it up because, as was pointed out too, pain is something that nurses come into contact with every day. We might not see decubitus ulcers or wounds every day, or sometimes not even, even though diabetes is so prevalent now, sometimes you don't see a diabetic every day. But most nurses at the bedside will see someone with pain every day. And so this really speaks to a lot of nurses at the, you know, the core of why they became a nurse.
Yeah. And, you know, this is Ann, and I really have learned over time that, yes, nursing and pain affects all our patients no matter where we are. So as we talk about specialties, really pain is everywhere and affects all our patients. So all nurses need to know about that, whatever their practice area is.
Exactly, and we've seen nurses from every area come to the Pain Champion classes, so it's not just inpatient medicine or med-surg. We've got, you know, from pediatrics, ambulatory care, orthopedics, everything you can think of come there, and they all pretty much have very similar reactions, so it's very exciting. We're actually trying to change it for next year and not just have it as, you know, pain champions, you know, those who want to be pain champions on their unit kind of thing, but to have it as optional that nurse managers can require it for certain nurses or require it for all of their staff or use it in orientation for new nurses coming in, that kind of thing. So we're really trying to broaden it out, realizing that all nurses are pain champions.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a wonderful program that you have. When you consider that more than 116 million people in the U.S. live with pain on a daily basis, and about half of them receive no treatment at all, the total cost to that person, whether it's healthcare expenses, lost income, lost productivity at work and at home, the quality of life being impacted, but even on a societal level, when we're in the era of healthcare reform, cost $635 billion to our society. So that type of information that you're passing forward in your class is an important one. As well, just knowing that the nurses can know that they're not alone in treating pain, that they do have support like your program, like the American Society of Pain Management Nurses, like other resources are available so that they don't have to feel that they're all alone in trying to work with somebody who's suffering in pain.
I think this is Esther again. I think that's a really big, important, and well-utilized part of this program, and that is that nurses don't feel all alone like they used to, you know. They didn't know where to turn before. They're trying to advocate for a patient. The physician's, you know, either blowing them off or just kind of, dismissing them. And now they have information at hand. They know their equinalgesic dosing. They know the importance of pain management. They know how to advocate for a patient well. And it's been very encouraging for me to see that on our units.
Excellent work.
We have a long way to go. I don't want to make it sound like, like, oh, here, we've got everything down pat. It's not like that. We certainly have a long way to go. But we have made some headway, and some units more than others, and with some nurses more than others. But it's being much, much more well accepted that this is an issue that needs to be taken seriously.
Before 1990, the medical research on pain was less than one-tenth of the medical budget. So we are in an area right now that's just advancing so quickly, the knowledge of nurses and advocating for our patients and the needs of our society. We're in a research realm of pain management. It's being supported. We're establishing networks for support for nurses in clinical practice, and we're basically responding to the changing field of pain management nursing. It's an exciting time to be doing this.
Yeah, and I was going to say, Barbara, that what your statistics that you were quoting was, I assume, coming from that IOM report, which came out, that really has put this to the forefront. And yes, it is that, you know, sort of getting that identification from a national level, how important it is that we address this public health problem and we address it in all sorts of ways. And what we're talking about here is the role of the nurse, which is, you know, really crucial, because I think, as you really said, Barbara, about having that person that was at your side, that nurse, that presence, it really is so much so the nurse who is knowledgeable, not only to be the presence, but knowledgeable about what she can do for you, she or he can do for you, and that there is support in the institution as well as nationally as this being an important issue.
Yeah. That the publication that you referred to is correct. That's where the statistics came out of. And it's a publication that was released in August, and it's from the Institute of Medicine, and it's called Relieving Pain in America, A Blueprint for Transforming Prevention, Care, Education, and Research.
That document actually helped us to underscore a lot of our efforts here at the Cleveland Clinic as well. When talking to physicians or meeting with them, just having that one document actually really made some difference in saying this is, pain is a big issue. It's not a side issue to your treatment of whatever is going on, but it is often the issue. And so that was quite a good thing that when that came out in August.
You know, 116 million people, that's a third of the population in the United States living with chronic pain. It's an astounding figure when you think about it in those terms. And yet, why has it been taking us so long to get around this blind side we have towards handling pain aggressively?
Well, I think some people, it's sort of an invisible condition. Like we know, for instance, that the diabetic is, you know, at risk for peripheral neuropathy, which is painful. But when you look at the person, you don't necessarily see that unless we ask about it and how they're functioning and that. So I think part of it has to be with the visibility. And I also think in our healthcare system, we've been really focused on the cure and the diagnosis and then the cure, and not so much what the functioning of the patient is, which pain is a part of that.
And we know now that there's changes in the brain that occur when pain is not relieved. So pain is no longer considered a symptom, but rather, in some cases, a disease itself.
I also think that one of the problems is that pain is so ubiquitous. Everybody experiences some pain between birth and death. And therefore, because if something is just so common, we tend to, as a public, we tend to interpret others' pain by our own standards. If we've never really had a lot of, or if we've always been able to control our pain with a Tylenol or had surgery and those two Percocet work just fine, thank you, then we have a different way of viewing others' pain and maybe not take it so seriously. We are often the most biased of our shortcomings when we look at another's pain, because you can never feel it for another, and you can never measure it objectively. Can't put a number on it, you know, like we do with a blood pressure or a blood sugar. And so we can't see it. We just interpret it according to our own biases.
I think that's true. And I also think the other factor in there is that we really have to alert our patients that they need to tell us about it, because I think sometimes with some illnesses, they just think it's part and parcel of not being well, and so they don't necessarily bring it up unless the healthcare provider brings it up and us nurses bringing it up and asking those questions. So they don't always feel free to bring pain forward.
That's true, and I see that on our units in the hospital. patients that don't feel like they can tell the doctor about the pain, but they'll tell the nurse. And then I always like to encourage nurses to be there when the doctor rounds and say, and you know, ask Mr. So-and-so, please tell the doctor how you've been feeling today and where your, you know, where your pain is. And so that the doctor hears it directly from the patient and it's not the nurse calling an hour later saying, yeah, but I know he was seemed to be fine an hour ago, you know. So it is important to encourage patients to describe what they're feeling.
I think in nursing now, too, we have tools that we can use to assess pain better. But no matter what, and there are many, no matter what tool, though, that we use, our goals are still the same. And that is address the issue of pain, maximize the relief, and minimize the side effects.
Right.
So nurses are well positioned to do that.
They really are at the forefront. Nurses really are at the forefront of pain management. I think it was Dr. Joe Eland who said nursing owns pain at the last conference at that morning. And in as much as no domain, no discipline owns a concept, but I think that nursing really does. Nursing is there 24/7 when physicians aren't, or maybe family can't even sometimes be there 24/7. So the nurse is the one there helping, seeing, really making that global holistic assessment of what's going on.
And they hear the voice of pain, and they see the face of pain. And that's what nurses bring forward, is allowing that voice to come forward. So while patients may not feel they're heard, the nurses are well positioned at the bedside to hear that person's pain and to bring that forward and to advocate for them.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I think what you had said, Esther, about encouraging the nurse to be there when the physician's round really helps in order to have that interdisciplinary coordination, because as we know, as being in healthcare, we all have to work together as a team, and it's important that we bring up things that may be overlooked at times.
You know, pain management really transcends all of the nursing specialties, but when you're specifically working as a nurse in pain management, how important is it for you to really be an active part of that interdisciplinary care team, the pharmacist, the physician, the surgeon, the care planner for home the discharge and everything else, working with that bedside nurse to help them have the tools that they need to do the job right?
Yeah, I think it's essential. One of the things why American Society of Pain Management Nursing, why we've been moving forward in terms of education and having educational material available. We write position papers on certain areas that will, you know, help nurses in practice be able to utilize that information and share it with the other members of the team, and really being the kind of focal point for disseminating this information about pain management and doing the work of that, so that we provide as pain management nurses the tools that all of the nurses need in their area. And that's what we frequently respond to in terms of education of what it is those nurses identify that they need to help them in their practice.
In my job, every day I attend multidisciplinary rounds. And there are two things that I think I bring to the table. And, well, I know I bring to the table. One is I always ask the question, how's the patient's pain? So I'm asking the entire team, how did it go the last 24 hours from when we've seen that patient? The other thing that I bring to the table is evidence-based pain management. So, and that is the strength of the American Society of Pain Management Nurses, because I get those tools, I get that knowledge, and I continue to build on my knowledge so that I'm no longer speculating. I actually know, because the science is there and the science is telling me how to do this.
Barb, do you find that the other professionals out there, the physicians and the other people that these people work, the patients come in contact with, are they starting to get the picture on all of the research that's going on, focusing on how pain affects healing, how pain affects long-term reaction to future pain, you know, all these things that physiologically happen when we have pain?
It has been a long time to have that evolve in everybody's thinking. In my particular environment, through Fairview, pain is a very important part of patient care, and we make sure that the patient knows that so that they're not holding back on us. We do know that the benefits of pain are there, and the side effects of pain are there, and I do believe in the entire multidisciplinary team that rounds on our patients, that we are aware of that, and we're also aware of the need to control the pain.
I think the awareness of the, I too attend multidisciplinary rounds and totally appreciate the evidence-based practice things that I get from ASPMN and certainly a lot of other resources, and bringing that to the table, saying that there is science behind this, you know, that repositioning and turning on a relaxation channel is not just a nicety, but there really is science there that will help that patient with their pain management. And but some of the other things, too, that I bring up in those rounds, when I can put the, you know, a reference or a position statement or something behind what I'm saying, everyone sort of perks up and they like, oh, wow, there's really something to this. It's not just, it's not, you know, managing a person's pain is not just like getting them a cup of coffee. It's not just the nicety, but there's really, really an important part of healing that needs to happen. And managing that pain is part of that.
Yeah, I think when Barbara started out as talking about the fact that, you know, there has been an explosion of information since the 1990s where there was very little, that there really is so much more research out there, that has really helped the interdisciplinary team to understand, and the public at large to understand, how important it is to manage pain, and that, you know, managing acute pain can help us prevent some people from living in chronic pain conditions. So I think there's just more and more knowledge out there in general for us to use, and it's a matter of making all of our nurses aware of that and all of our other healthcare providers. And I think programs such as the one that Esther was talking about really help move along that process, because for each person that we reach, they will reach other members of the interdisciplinary team, and those will reach others. So it's kind of, it goes out from that center source of the nurse.
And what I've been excited to see is that sometimes it's just an awareness that pain is an important priority here that makes a difference. When people talk about, well, we have these classes and why is that, and just the, you know, chit chat about that, and even among physicians, oh yes, we need to do that. The raising the awareness of it among providers here at the hospital really has its own impact.
And we're getting kind of winding down here towards the end, and I want to just kind of throw something out there for you to share some ideas, each of you actually, to share some ideas with that nurse that's listening to this, or perhaps that student nurse that's saying, wow, you know, I really feel like I could be a champion for my patients and for a larger patient population as a nurse specializing in pain management. What is a piece of advice you might offer to that individual?
One of the things that I offer is, yes, becoming becoming familiar with what it is that the American Society for Pain Management Nursing offers. And one of the ways you can do that is become familiar with our website, which is www.aspmn.org. And there's lots of material on there that's available to you to take opportunities such as those that Esther is talking about in her institution. And I think if you look nationwide, there are lots of institutions that offer that. There are also patient organizations that pair with nurses, such as the American Pain Foundation, that allow the nurse to grow in terms of how you can advocate at a greater level in terms of when things come up in legislation issues that really will affect the ability of individuals to get access to care. The whole being interested in the topic, looking at the literature, working with other individuals, just increasing your knowledge about it goes a long way in becoming a champion.
I will oftentimes receive phone calls from nurses that are just interested in seeing what I do as a pain management nurse. And so I invite them to join me, and they spend a day or two or three with me and see how the nurse actually can make a difference in intervening with people in pain. One of the main points, though, that I do try to get across is listen to what the patient's telling you. And if you know what the patient's telling you, move that forward. Don't ignore it. Don't go back and just forget it. Go out there and advocate for that person in pain. I was thinking about some other resources that are available, too. There is the American Headache Society. There's the Arthritis Foundation, the American Pain Society, the American Chronic Pain Association, also available. And oftentimes what nurses will do is they'll go to that website, they'll print it out, and they'll bring it to me and say, well, what do you think of this and this? And so it really does provide people with good information. And most of those websites have evidence-based information so that they're not just plugging into Google and getting just anything. You know, we really want to make sure that the information that people receive is accurate information.
Don't forget to check out the entire September 2011 issue of Nursing Notes, looking at trends and careers in pain management nursing. This month's Nursing Notes newsletter includes articles on how nurses continue to advance pain management, the growth of career opportunities for nurses in the field, and how you can vote on the Amazing Nurse Contest semifinalists. You can read the entire issue online at www.discovernursing.com. And don't forget to catch our other Nursing Notes Live episode this month featuring our get-to-know nurse, Esther Bernhofer. You'll find this and other podcast episodes at www.nursingnoteslive.com, the Nursing Notes by Johnson & Johnson Facebook page, and in the podcast area in iTunes. Nursing Notes Live is produced each month for the Johnson & Johnson Campaign for Nursing Future by Medicast Productions. All rights reserved.